I'm Sonny Blechinger, KBOO's Artist in Residence for 2015. Hope you'll join us at the Clinton Street Theater December 10th, Thursday night at 7 p.m. for the broadcast of my radio play, The Pool. It's about four swimmers who happen to use the same pool at the same time every week. It'll be broadcast with new video by local filmmaker Lincoln Baron Holmes and hosted by the comedians from American Comedy, Paul Schlesinger and Jason Traeger. Following the radio play will be a screening of the 1968 film The Swimmer, starring Burt Lancaster. Again, that's Thursday night, December 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, November 23rd, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Nick Cady. He's with Cascadia Wildlands. He's been a guest on Air Cascadia in the past, and he'll be joining us to talk about an issue that has been on the back burner for a while. It's one of those things that we know is happening, but because there is so much, there's a lot sexier, Paris bombers, ISIS, and all this business, that we forget that we still have a responsibility to future generations to prove ourselves good, if not at least adequate, stewards of our native and our natural environment. It's the gold mining, which is on the table right now, and specifically mining taking place in wilderness areas or fragile habitat. If it is not left unmolested, we risk taking out the fundamental bricks that our entire habitat is founded on. It's more than important. It's critical. It's part of the entire panoply, this whole scenario that's playing out right now, watching what we like to call and what the media calls climate change, but what in fact is habitat collapse. Climate is, of course, part of that habitat picture. Everything else falls into a pattern based on the habitat, what the fundamental elements of that consist of. It's so easy to forget about these things. It takes place in remote parts of Cascadia, places where it's very difficult to defend without damaging the environment even more than the corporate interests that are going in there would damage it. Nick is waiting on the line. Good morning, Nick. Hang on just a moment. I've got a couple of headlines that I want to hit first before we get into this. An effort to strengthen the crude oil safety transport measures is underway. This is in Washington from the This is from the Daily Columbian newspaper out of Vancouver. In their most recent legislative session, lawmakers passed a measure to increase the number of the state's rail inspectors. This is so stupid. This is closing yet another piece of legislation that effectively closes the barn door long after the horse has departed. The fact is, we don't need to waste time and money on safety regulations if we stop and we just leave it in the ground. If you don't have train bombs going through, then you don't need to have regulations, which are ineffective anyway. Plus, it's inevitable there will be an accident. We just don't know how bad it's going to be. And Jonathan Latham, commenting on an investigation by Valerie Brown and Elizabeth Grossman that came out first in these times, It revealed that computer-based modeling systems for estimating human health effects from synthetic chemicals has been known for years as to greatly underestimate risks if used in certain ways. Bingo! There you are. Whatever they come up with, this, whatever bogus science they base safety regulations on, is bound to underestimate the threat in the first place. We know this because it's a consistent pattern across all so-called research done by corporate interests, which only serves to promote their own profit-making architecture. And I still am trying to get, we're still working on getting Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel on the show. Wheeler writes a lot about legal aspects of the war on terror, and she had a recent article which is absolutely remarkable. Portland police are investigating a possible hate crime at Lewis and Clark College. A not originally American and black student was assaulted in horrific ways, we can only imagine, recently on Friday by three other perhaps students. I hate to call them student, dignify them with the term student. And state regulators are working on new, state regulators have pretty much blown their opportunity to regulate anything regarding the fossil fuel industry. So I'll let that next one pass and toss it up on the website. And that said, I want to welcome Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands to the KBOO airwaves. I'm so glad you could join us today, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is interesting here. What interests me about it is the fact that people are so easily distracted by stories that are basically sold to them. We've been sold a holiday blockbuster, and we forget frequently that it's our responsibility to protect our own habitat here. That, you know, it all this business with ISIS and Europe and Belgium and Paris, these are symptoms of habitat collapse. When a species is in the process of destroying its own habitat, this is the social aspect of that habitat, and we see it breaking down on a regular basis. But now here in Cascadia, there's a law to defend, that efforts to defend an Oregon law designed to protect wildlife from damaging gold mining on waterways. I think it's important, and I want to ask you about this, to point out to people that we are a species, and this is our habitat. We don't see it outside our doors. Nonetheless, our lives depend on keeping our wildlands safe from depredations. I think, you know, you think of the companies, the gold mining companies and so forth, this is ecological terrorism. This is an attack. Can you talk about the fishing groups that are joining the lawsuit to protect Oregon from gold mining? Why is it important?
Well, yeah, well, aside from just kind of the conservation community that was upset at this lawsuit designed to kind of, you know, these are protections that Oregonians wanted for their major iconic riverways, like the Rogue River and the Checo. And now, you know, a lot of the fishing, the Pacific fishing communities have joined in this lawsuit as well to kind of defend these regulations, just kind of protect the most iconic rivers in Oregon from very reckless and dangerous gold mining practices.
What is it about the gold mining practices that makes it a threat to the environment?
Well, this gold mining, it's called suction dredge mining, and it basically uses a large gas generator to suck up the bottoms of our rivers, kind of the gravel beds, looking for gold flakes. And it's it's an incredibly destructive practice. It stirs up kind of toxic mercury that was left over from previous mining operations and destroys salmon habitat. It's also incredibly damaging to water quality, and a lot of Oregon's communities, rural communities, draw water sources from these rivers that are being mined in this way.
How do they get this equipment in? Give us a, can you sort of give listeners an idea of what's involved and the size of some of this machinery they're dragging into the woods?
Yeah, it's incredibly damaging. Sometimes there's heavy equipment used to kind of get the suction dredge into place. They are prying open kind of boulders and intentionally restored salmon habitat to kind of get at the gravel underneath kind of large wood structures or boulders. And they're running large gas generators on a raft, kind of floating in the middle of the rivers, which is generally these things are kind of like leaking into the rivers, and then they are sucking up with a large nozzle vacuum. It's a very big vacuum. They're kind of combing the bottom of the river, which is, of course, salmon spawning habitat. So it's an incredibly damaging practice.
So this is going into spawning habitat. What are there presently? What restrictions are there on where this mining has been allowed to happen?
Well, we passed a law 2 years ago that restricts these practices in kind of essential salmon spawning habitat, basically streams where salmon are returning. Right now they're returning and going to spawn. And so that's what the law does and kind of targets specific areas where this is just not an appropriate practice. But the mining community is kind of trying to use a law from the 1800s to invalidate this other law that we passed as Oregonians.
So what is this? What is this law, and how is it being used?
Well, it's Senate Bill 838. We passed it 2 years ago, and it basically gave a 2-year time frame for miners and conservationists in the state to kind of come to the table and work on a reasonable regulatory framework for this mining practice. Kind of limit the number of permits that are handed out. Limit the areas where it can be done, obviously avoid kind of critical and iconic riverways in Oregon. The miners essentially were unwilling to come to the table and waited for kind of more stricter regulations to fall into place and have now going to court.
So how are regulations enforced in remote areas? I mean, Cascadia Wildlands and the other groups, Rogue Riverkeeper others, it seems incredibly expensive to have the personnel, people to go out there. And if they find one of these operations, what can they do?
I think you would instantly report that to the Oregon State Police or the Department of Environmental Quality. We do rely heavily on kind of citizen reporting of these practices, and these are on some of the most famous rivers in Oregon. So if you're out recreating or fishing, if you see these activities, you should definitely report it.
So, these companies. Do you want to name any of the companies that are doing this?
Yeah, it's kind of a loose association of mining districts is what they refer to themselves as. It's like the Galise Mining District and several individual miners who have brought this lawsuit, not, just kind of representatives of the industry in general.
And they're doing this. They're saying that the quote is asserting that there is a right to mine granted by this law from the 1800s. What is it? How do they manage to use this as leverage to allow themselves to simply go into Oregon and take whatever they want out of the rivers? How is that justified?
Yeah, there is the Mining Act of 1872 was this law passed, the federal law passed, obviously a long time ago, to encourage westward expansion and development of resources in the West. A very old law. I think the purposes for it have expired, but this law has kind of become kind of a dogmatic rallying cry for the mining community, saying that this federal law, preempts any state efforts to regulate mining, basically to keep it out of certain areas. And so that's what they're alleging in the lawsuit. We, of course, don't think that's a valid argument. So.
And as far as standing, when companies invoke these antiquated laws, how does that affect standing when you do take these companies to court?
Right, right. So we're just, the miners are suing the state of Oregon, kind of alleging this law is violated by federal law. It's preempted in this. So we are just interveners this time. But as far as standing goes, every month, every Oregonian out of their paycheck, we've paid $254 million. Those are Oregon taxes alone on salmon habitat restoration. And so these efforts, the mining efforts, are kind of directly undermining and undoing a lot of this work that we put in on this bill.
Nick, thank you so much. Do you want to just, before we let you go, give listeners information on how they can follow the developments here? It's so important.
Yes. You can follow up with me. My name's Nick Cady. I'm the legal director of Cascadia Wildlands, and you can find us on the web at www.cascwild.org.
Thanks so much. My guest has been Nick Cady, as of with Cascadia Wildlands. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, November 23rd. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hats for the Homeless donation drive. From December 1st through the 15th, 5 Southeast locations will collect clean, new, or gently used hats, scarves, and gloves, and the folks at Zippity News will distribute them to local shelters. Dropbox locations and more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.